from you we can do nothing, so we depend on you.
Hello, hello, hello. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, let's look at, today we're going to talk about detours. Have you ever had a detour? Or keep on marching? Some things that are going on. But first of all, let's look at Hebrews 10, 25. I want to look at this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So what does it mean to not forsake? Well, to forsake something means you abandon it. You abandon, you renounce, you reject. So here we're not supposed to reject or abandon getting together. As a day approaches, we are to do it more often. And then it says, exhort one another. What does it mean to exhort one another? To encourage. We need encouragement in this hour. We need people that are on the same page, that can think for themselves. To encourage, to advise, it means to give strength. When you're encouraging someone, you run alongside them and you give them the courage they need, because you have courage to give. So you give them strength for the journey. Sometimes you give it to them, and sometimes they give it to you.
That's right.
That's why we assemble together, so that we can be strengthened, and we encourage and we comfort. And to encourage also, exhort here, means to warn and to caution. So that's why we are together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. So we need to encourage one another. And what does that mean? We stay in fellowship with people like-minded who are actively resisting the devil. A lot of people don't even know there is a devil. And they don't know his works. They don't believe in him. They haven't been taught that there is an enemy that we face. So no matter what we're going through, we still want to exhort everyone to serve and obey the Lord, even in hard times. Jesus will eventually return and put the devil out of business, once and for all.
Amen.
But until then, we are to resist him.
Right.
Nobody's going to do that for you. We have to resist the devil, give him no place, because 1 Peter 5:8 said he's on the prowl, seeking someone to devour. That means to destroy. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our minds. He wants to destroy our families. So that's why we walk with the Lord, even in good times, bad times, high, low, whatever. We keep our eyes on him, especially as the day's approaching. Especially as things get darker, we need to continually walk together, assemble together. And there's a lesson from the giant redwood forests of California. These are giant trees. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to California, they're just gigantic. But they have a very shallow root system. So what is the secret of their survival? How come they don't just topple over, blow away? Because with shallow roots and being so tall, why don't they just topple over with some strong winds? Well, here's the secret. Their roots, though shallow, are entangled with one another. There's an entangling of those trees with one another, so together they stand firm. Same thing as we assemble together. We might have some shallow roots. We might be going through some things, but together, as we stand together, we stand firm with the Lord and against the devil. We survive. We survive end times. Amen? So know who your people are.
Yeah.
Lock arms and stand firm against any storm. Any storm that's going to arise, because we're standing on the rock, right? So we need encouragement in these days. We need encouragement to give it and to receive it in Christ. So we have to learn how to find our people. Now in Numbers 20, we're not going to go through this whole story, but I'm going to highlight it to you. The Israelites wanted to cut their way through the land of Edom on their way to Canaan. They wanted to go through. They wanted to make a shortcut. It would have been a lot shorter distance if they would have went through the land. But the king of Edom said no. He said, nope, you can't pass through. You're not going through my land. Moses went through this whole thing of, we won't drink your water, we won't do anything, just please let us go through your land. And he said no. And then what happened in Numbers 21:4, the people were very discouraged because of the way. Now, because they couldn't go through, they had to go around. And going around caused a setback. It was a detour. It caused more problems, more trouble. And who gets excited when you see a detour sign? Oh, yay, a detour. Especially where we live, there's a detour signs every summer, road construction. So you can see the other side and you want to get there, but you can't get there because you got to go around. Well, here, the Israelis were very, very discouraged because of the way, the setbacks. So they started complaining. And the more we complain, the worse we make it. So Moses had to take a detour. What's a detour? And I'm going to kind of give you a lot of definitions of a detour, because many of you are facing detours in your life, something you didn't expect, or you probably will be in the future. We've had some in the past, detours. It's a longer journey with more challenges. A funny example is Gilligan's Island, remember? That three-hour tour. They got a storm and they blew off course and they became castaways. They had a big detour. But boy, looking at that show, if you can remember it, that's aging us all here that knows Gilligan's Island. They had everything on that island. They didn't need anything. I don't know where they got everything, but they sure had everything. So a detour is you're wandering from a direct path, a different path that's not wanted. You don't want to go that way, but you have no choice to go that way. And it's unexpected turns and obstacles. Divorces are detours. You weren't expecting maybe to have trouble. You thought this you'd have lived happily ever after, and then you hit it. Whatever. Same thing with the death of a loved one. You weren't expecting this, and now all of a sudden you have a detour. There's so many different things that end up in our life that we didn't plan for. About a year ago, this month, I fell, and I had a concussion, a pretty bad one. I kept preaching all the way through it, but I also had a stress fracture in my foot. At the same time, trying to gain leverage, I stepped back and hit. Oh my gosh, it was like a bat hit my head. And I've had to do a lot of stuff on my own just to keep above that. If you've ever had a concussion, you know it's a lot of work to get, you know, everything was cramped up in my neck, and I had to do a lot of exercises, a lot of rehab by myself, because I went to someone and they hurt me even more, so I thought, I'm not doing this again. So it was a detour, just to say, I get them too. And then I had a stress fracture in my foot because I was trying to stabilize myself when I fell, and that was another problem. So sometimes, maybe some of you didn't even know it because I kept on preaching for a whole year, but we go through detours, we go through pain, we go through trouble, we go through problems, but we don't cry and mourn, we keep marching. Yeah. We keep serving the Lord, we keep doing whatever we have to do to keep going, right? Yeah. It wasn't the path we wanted. It wasn't what we expected, because there is a devil loose. There is an enemy, and sometimes just our own flesh. In this case, somebody didn't do the landscaping properly and stepped off the back of the sidewalk into a big hole. And so, you know, there's human error, there's human mistakes, but it put me on a different path that wasn't expected. There's road constructions, there's bridges that are out, there's roads that are closed. Trouble with your kids. I could say so many things about that. Kids. One thing bad about detours is they cause us to lose time. You're on that path, you're going to get there, and all of a sudden you got a detour. On your way to work, boss, I was late because I had a detour. I had to go around, right? When you really go through a huge detour, you can feel lost and you can feel uncertain of your way. Now you don't know where you're going because you have to follow the signs. Go here, and then all of a sudden there's no signs. Well, where am I supposed to go now? Some detours are very bad at telling people where they're going and where they're going to join up to. So our lives are interrupted. by detours. Theirs were, ours are. We don't expect it. We didn't expect that job to end. We didn't expect that friendship to fizzle. This is not the path that we wanted to be on. And I want to encourage everyone out there, mourn, grieve, grieve your detours, grieve your losses, but keep on marching.
Yep.
We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're soldiers, and we haven't been taught how to properly be in boot camp. We've been pampered. So when trouble hits, most people quit. They quit on the Lord. They quit on each other.
True.
But we have to keep on marching. You can cry, mm-hmm. but keep obeying. Keep serving and keep obeying God. Why? Because there's trouble in this world. Mm-hmm. There is trouble in this world. Unexpected turns and obstacles force us to wrestle with a new problem. We didn't have this problem before, but now we had a detour. Now we lose time, and we also have to deal with another problem. Right? When we see the detour sign, we may feel anxious, because you're not sure where the detour is going to take you. You also feel frustrated because this will mess up your schedule. These detours don't give you a choice. You have to go on them. They present themselves, bam. It's unexpected and changes the course of your life. Sometimes a little, sometimes a lot, depending upon what the detour is. And now when you're on a detour, you can't go 65 miles an hour. You got to slow down. You have to go and follow the flow of traffic. And aren't you glad you can't hear everybody in their cars? Detours cancel the known. And now we move into the unknown. A lot of people are facing this at their jobs right now. People are quitting left and right. Yeah. I just read an article of the doctors are quitting. The nurses are quitting. Because instead of getting given choices, they're been given intimidation. Do this or else. A lot of people are just retiring, quitting, whatever. Now we aren't sure of where we're going. Detours involve a longer trip. And we see a shorter route. We just... right behind that sign. I could just go right through there. But we are denied access to it. And it's very frustrating. This is what they had to go through in the book of Numbers. Would have been so much easier if they just could have crossed into that land instead of going the long way around. Sometimes you have a big delay. Our ordered set path is interrupted. Now we are forced to adjust. Mm-hmm. We're forced to adjust.
Yep.
We wanted to go from A to B. Now we're made to make stops at Q, R, S, T along the way. We didn't want to stop along the way. Now we're forced to. Forced detours. Mm-hmm. What do you see on these detours? You see bad stuff. You see bad people. And maybe you've made some bad choices yourself. None of us have ever made bad choices, have we? The example I wanted to show you in the Bible, in the biblical detour, was poor Jacob. Jacob and Rachel. He loved Rachel so much. The problem is, Rachel's father is a con man and a shady businessman. In Genesis 29:18, Jacob says he will work for Rachel's father, Laban, for 7 years. If he gives him Rachel. In verse 20, so Jacob spent the next 7 years working to pay for Rachel, but his love for her was so strong it seemed to him but a few days. 2,555 days. Detour. Jacob's going to have a problem here. Laban, the schemer, the deceiver, his new father-in-law, replaced his ugly daughter Leah into Jacob's bed in the dark. Ooh, that's a detour. Wrong woman. Wrong woman. Forced detour. Boy, Jacob wasn't too happy. It says in chapter 29, verse 25, Jacob raged at his father-in-law. What did he say, Laban? He said, "It's our custom to marry off a younger daughter ahead of the firstborn." This was a detour deal. He could have them both for 7 more years of labor. Wow, what a deal. 2 for 1. Now what happens with those two sisters? They're 2 cat fighters and they fight. They get jealous.
Exactly.
Now he's got trouble. He just wanted one, now he's got 2. Couple lessons. Now this is kind of funny, but don't make deals with people you don't really know.
True.
Read the fine print and check the ID of every person who crawls into your bed. He woke up and said, "Oh my." There's a lot of questions surrounding that story, but I'm not going to go into what I think it was. But anyway, life brings bad news. With a sudden phone call, an unexpected crisis, and sometimes unexpected spiritual storms, now we have to deal with something we didn't plan for, right? Detours, setbacks, delays, twists and turns that are not expected. Moses is on a detour in the wilderness for 40 years. Numbers 32:13. Abraham is on a detour for 25 years while he waits for a son. Genesis 12:1-4. Joseph is on a 13-year detour in a prison that prepared him for his coming reign over Egypt. God sometimes doesn't send these things, but God will use them. This is what we have to say. God, maybe you didn't send this, because there is a devil. And a lot of the stories I was trying to look at for examples, they acted like God sent every detour. And they didn't even figure in the devil at all. Well, we have to know that God can use anything. But a lot of times, because of other people's choices, we're put in situations because of their decisions, their sins. There's a whole lot of things. But through it all, we trust the Lord to bring us out and to order our steps, right? We believe our steps are ordered of the Lord. And the Lord did use this. Joseph, he was in prison for something he didn't do. And that's hard. He was in a detour for saying no, for resisting sexual temptation. And he ended up in a place he didn't want to be for doing the right thing. Sometimes you do the right thing and you end up facing consequences because somebody else made some bad choices. But some detours position us and prepare us for our future. Even though it wasn't God sent, it can be God used. And that's what we have to pray. Whatever happens, that God, you use this, that you help us come through, and we become detour survivors. Say that word 5 times. And what happens when you're going through a detour and you're a detour survivor, sometimes you can get another wound from people that don't understand.
Right.
And this is what I think has been the big problem in a lot of what we thought was Christianity and the positive movement, and just, you know, there was no compassion and empathy for people that were hurting. It was just, you don't have enough faith. A lot of people came out of that, but they didn't allow themselves to really help other people in their problems. Instead, you're kind of left on your own. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be assembling, helping, encouraging. And if someone's sinning, then you go together and you rebuke them. But we still are called to be like those redwood forests, lock arms, be strong. Because the enemy wants to wipe us out, but if we stand together, he can't. So another wound that can happen when you're going through a detour is discouragement from other people. Because they blame you. Well, it must have been your fault. When you know it wasn't your fault, and you're going through something, and then you don't get the right encouragement, it can be very discouraging. Because now you get another wound on top of what you're already dealing with. Then you can get discounted. People say it's not really that bad.
Right.
If it's bad, we have been taught not to face reality.
Right.
It's kind of like this fake faith world that nothing really happens, just have the right formula and you can snap out of it. That's not real life. Real life is you face trouble and trials, and you need people. You can't totally put your confidence in them, because Jesus said he knew what was in man. But he puts people around us, and we have to keep praying for divine connections. Mm-hmm. The Lord, give us the people we need to accomplish what you want us to accomplish.
Amen.
Because you can get discouraged if people discount you. It wasn't that bad, or I don't care to know the details. I don't want to hear about it.
Good.
You get another wound.
Yeah.
Or they just give you a spiritual formula. Just snap out of it. And that's very painful when you're going through things. Like I've told you a lot on our YouTube people, that one of my best friends was dying of cancer, and all these so-called faith people came over and just rebuked her for being sick. And they were fighting stuff, colds and all that around her. She said, well, here they were fighting, but they were attacking me for not having enough faith. How sad.
Mm-hmm.
That is very sad. Why? Because you're going through something and you have nobody you can talk to,
mm-hmm.
because you'll get rebuked by the so-called positive faith crowd. There's nowhere in the Bible, the Bible says be positive.
Right?
That word's not there.
Mm-mm.
But we are to be thinking on good things. But this positive stuff is actually kind of a way not to face reality as well. And I'm not saying being negative. Nobody likes negative people. But there is a balance between being able to share what you're going through, get help, get prayer, get encouragement. Because a lot of the people I knew from back in the day, they wouldn't even share what they were going through because they thought they'd be rebuked.
Yeah.
Or they were ashamed what they were going through. So nobody got encouraged. You got wounded again.
Yeah.
And that wasn't God's will or choice. And there's a lot of one another's in the Bible. What are we supposed to do with one another as we're together like these trees? Weep with one another. Somebody's hurting, be present, be there, let them weep. Don't tell them they can't weep. I think that's the worst thing that people taught little boys, you can't cry.
Mm-hmm.
So they stuff it and they act hard. Well, they do the same thing in church. You're not supposed to, that's not supposed to bother you. Where's the empathy? Where's the love? Weep with one another, the Bible says. Be present, be there.
Mm-hmm.
Be at peace with one another. Love one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Serve one another. Forgive each other. Encourage each other daily. Build each other up. Pray for one another. On and on. There's so many. There were 59 that I was looking at, and I just condensed it. Don't lie to each other.
Mm-hmm.
On and on and on. When we come together, assemble ourselves together, as the day gets darker and darker, find out who you can be around, that you can let down your hair and share what you're really going through. When you need help, you need prayer. Then I want to close with this again, casting all of our anxieties on him. When you're in a detour, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset, you've lost time, it costs money. You get anxious, you get frustrated. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Verse 7, cast, throw something heavy, throw it on the Lord, because we can't handle these frustrations. We can't handle even the news sometimes. Today I was listening to the news and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I see intimidation rather than free choice. I see a lot of things that are coming quickly. It's very, very discouraging to see what's going on in our world. So we have to keep casting our cares on the Lord. And people, too, that are turning on one another. We've never seen this before in our countries. So we cast it on the Lord. Throw it, roll it on the Lord. So by faith, we put it into God's hands. That's how we walk by faith. We put it into God's hands. This detour, I wasn't expecting it. It's going to cost me. Help me, Lord, get through it. Help me find you in it. Help me overcome. And there are people who can walk away from you. When people can walk away from you, let them walk.
Wow.
I don't want you to try to talk another person into staying, loving, calling, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. If they don't want to, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
There's a time you have to learn. There comes an end to some things. Mm-hmm. It's not that you want it, but because of the trouble and the trials and things that are going on, there's a ripping and a tearing that I see happening. And it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means that that part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead.
Good.
Trying to raise a dead horse. When the horse is dead, it's dead. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let them go. You either cast it or you retain it. And if you retain it, it makes you angry. It makes you bitter. You might not know it, but everyone around you does. Cast it. Let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, don't be so desperate for a guy if you're a girl. And you just, this guy's abusing you, but you just want someone in your life. Well, it's like drinking poison because you're thirsty. If someone's angered you, cast it. And that goes vice versa. That goes for the guys as well. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. Vengeance is the Lord's. A lot of times we'll watch movies and shows of these people that are getting back at someone that killed their wife or what. They're just miserable. All they do is set on destruction. Let it go. Let it go into God's hands. And you can't do that without Him helping you. You have to have that personal relationship with Him. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, let it go. This isn't the time.
Yeah.
Things are going to be happening. You need to make sure your trust is in the Lord, not on these addictions. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, or if God tells you it's time to let go, go find a new one, let go and find a new one. I just thought this was worth repeating. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God's trying to take you into a new place, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship and they don't want it to be healed, let it go. It takes two to have a relationship work. And if somebody walks out and divorces you, you have to get yourself back together and stop chasing after things you know that are dead. And lastly, if there's a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself, and God, you know, a lot of us, we're survivors, so we have learned to control things. Just have to because nobody else was there. Well, sometimes you have to back off. There's someone else there now, and you don't have to control that anymore. Just let it go. Take your hands off of it when you need to. Roll, cast it, throw it on the Lord. And that's not easy to do. Someone said it was like fishing, and then you cast it on the Lord, and then you take it back, and then you cast it on the Lord, and then you take it back. Why? Because we're used to being in control. So it's got to be a daily thing, sometimes a minute-by-minute thing, casting our cares and our anxieties on the Lord, for He cares for us. But again, verse 25 of Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And if you are no longer going to a church, and a lot of people are no longer finding their church safe for many, many reasons, I get emails constantly about this. Try to assemble. The Bible says if there's two or more, mm-hmm. He's in the midst. Yeah. It doesn't have to be these big things that we thought it was. In fact, it's almost getting smaller now. You have to know who thinks, who's thinking. To me, it's like, why don't more people ask questions of what's going on? Why are people so gullible? Find out people so you can encourage one another. Share articles. I love it when you send me videos, articles, or letters of what you're learning, and I like to learn right along with you because none of us have it all. We're all learning and growing. But as we assemble together, then we can what? Encourage one another. Exhort, advise, give strength, comfort, and to warn and to caution. And these days, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even if it's just a couple. Even if it's just in your house and you want to watch a preaching video together, we have to change the way we do things because we're in a different season of life now. Things are not as they used to be.
Yep.
You got to find a safe place, and it doesn't have to be a lot of people. It just has to be the one that God puts in your life. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for helping us navigate these times that we're in, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Lord, just I pray for the people there that are watching, that you give them a friend. You give them someone they can trust. Put someone on their job. Someone. You always give us someone in our journey. You gave Mary and Elizabeth to each other. They both were going through something, and Lord, you put them in the right path. So we pray for divine connections in this hour to help encourage, strengthen, no matter what the detour. Father, we thank you that you're with us every step of the way, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You were with them, and they came out of that fiery furnace, Father. We thank you for no matter what people are going through, that you're with us. In all these things, we give you thanks. Help us be thankful in a negative world. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time. Jesus, I